gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, geez, the world has gone mad, Chris. I don't even know where to start this morning. It's just the world's gone all cattywampus.
Well, why?
There's just weird stories in the news. Is all between Eric Massa on every television show last night, and just getting weirder and weirder.
Yeah.
We have a meat thermometer incident in a movie theater in Los Angeles. Los Angeles gone mad. Since I've left.
Who brings a meat thermometer to the movies?
I'm not sure. The victim's okay, but he was complaining about someone talking on their cell phone in a movie theater, and so they came back and stabbed him in the neck with a meat thermometer.
That's
just a weird story. We'll get to that. It is annoying when people talk on their cell phones in the movies, but as you said, who brings a meat thermometer to the movies? Somebody. I don't know.
Your producer there, Sean, says that he brings a candy thermometer to the movies.
He prefers a candy thermometer at the movies. All right.
Yeah.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all. Their executive producer, Chris Lavoy, voice deity, Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. Another big show, Carl Frisch, joins us from Media Matters for America for a right-wing world next hour. Representative John Larson, Democrat of the great state of Connecticut, joins us in hour number three. Here's the thing. By the way, speaking of Media Matters, a frequent Bill O'Reilly target.
Yes.
I went to a dinner party last night that I thought this would make Bill O'Reilly's head explode.
Uh-oh.
Well, first of all, because I was there, liberal radio host.
Probably the only person that's been unbooked from the Bill O'Reilly show.
Yes.
Once Bill found out.
The head of the ACLU.
Oh, really?
Yes. Anthony Romero, who's terrific. And I asked him to come on to talk about, legal doings. And Kate Clinton, hilarious, a lesbian comedian.
Yes.
And I just thought this whole dinner party would make Bill O'Reilly's head explode. I felt the need to, I wanted to suddenly start talking about how much I loved Castro and terrorists and just send the audio to Bill O'Reilly. You know what I mean? Like try to, or send it to Newsbusters.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like to punk them so that like this is what a conversation sounds like at a gathering of, as Bill O'Reilly.
You get it?
Ideological zombie, loony ideologues, cowards, gutter snipes, charlatans, and jerk. I just think he's a weasel. You're a paranoid crazy. You're either a moron or a liar. He's a corrupt midget.
Come on, that's a funny plan, isn't it?
Sure.
To make it just, I could be like the James O'Keefe of the left. I could do a... I could have like...
Without the pimp costume.
Make it just, make it just not quite ridiculous enough for them to fall for it on the right. Like, I leak out the audio of this dinner party, what would be discussed between liberal radio hosts and the head of the ACLU.
What was discussed?
Lots of stuff, but I felt the need to just start, I don't think terrorists get enough spa treatments, do you? Stuff like that. I don't know, you want to send, video of just, Castro's on every wall, velvet Castro paintings.
Everybody wearing a Che Guevara t-shirt.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, a good time was had by all. Oh, and the hilarious comedian Kate Clinton is going to be on the show, I believe.
Yes, she is.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
No, wait a minute. What's today? Yes.
Thursday.
Isn't she?
Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
That's tomorrow.
All right, cool.
And by the way, Hal Sparks will also be on with us tomorrow. He's going to call in today. He's on, God knows, somewhere.
He's on a cruise.
He
docked in Mexico.
Since he's my ex-husband, I don't care. He's a deadbeat doggy daddy, and I don't know where he is.
He's dead to you.
Exactly. He's on my dead-to-me list. But he'll call in on his Skype or
whatever
later in the show. But then he will join me all 3 hours here in New York?
No. Here in Los
Angeles. In L.A.?
In Los Angeles, yes.
Okay. All right, fine. All right, so what? So it'll be a big, big show
you
tomorrow.
You sounded disappointed that he wasn't going to join you in New York.
Oh, did I betray that I really do still care? All right, I do still care. Whatever.
Uh-huh.
All right, so everybody was talking about Eric Massa on Glenn Beck, but then it got even weirder on Larry King.
Yeah, it did.
Let's start with on Beck last night.
Good
morning, Mr. Masso. The target of this mission is one Glenn Beck of the Fox News Network. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to infiltrate the Glenn Beck program, then backtrack on all your prior statements and expose Beck as the reactionary fool he is. His tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
Glenn Beck asked Congressman Eric Massa to appear on his program earlier tonight.
Secret agent man.
Mostly, what he did was make Glenn Beck apologize for his entire program.
I should have never allowed myself to be as familiar with my staff as I was.
You're going to show me tickle fights?
I'm going to show you a lot more than tickle fights. It looks like an orgy in Caligula.
You're now apologizing to Rahm Emanuel. I make a blood shoot out of my eyes. Okay.
Glenn Beck bet his entire show on Eric Massa and lost.
I have wasted an hour of your time, and I apologize for that.
All right, well, I guess I can come clean now. The reason I had to move to New York is I would frequently force Chris LaVoy into naked tickle parties in L.A.
And, yeah, they were
until
hell.
He cried.
And I, and you moved to New York to avoid a lawsuit and an ethics investigation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's because the ethics investigation was getting sticky. Jim doesn't care, but you're kind of whiny about it.
And Rebecca was conducting the ethics investigation.
That's why Rebecca left.
She's the only other person on our staff.
Rebecca had incriminating information. Now, I had to have her disappeared in the cornfield.
That's right. And now Miranda is here.
And she's like, because she knows how to keep her pie hole shut. That's why Miranda.
Do you, Miranda?
Here.
I'm good. Yeah, I don't have a problem with the tickle face.
She's fine with that. Okay. Now it has become WTF with Eric Massa.
Yeah.
So that was the latest news. Okay. So let's review. Yesterday, we found that he walked in on a Navy guy masturbating and said, "Hey, can I help you with that?" And slapped him on the leg.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a salty sailor.
Yes.
Whatever. And then the other thing was a staff member, he said, maybe I should be fracking you.
Right.
And tousled his hair at a wedding or something. So now this is the latest breaking news, is that he tickled a male staff member, until he cried?
Well, we have the audio from Glenn Beck yesterday, so let's go ahead and play that.
Now they're saying I groped a male staffer. Yeah, I did. Not only did I grope him, I tickled him until he couldn't breathe, and then four guys jumped on top of me. It's my 50th birthday. It was kill the old guy. I did nothing sexual. I did things that were wrong. I should not have allowed myself to be that friendly with my staff.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Okay, and that's why I had to ask you and Jim yesterday if I'm missing something in guy culture whereby men offer to help guys that they catch masturbating, or I was not aware that tickle parties were part of 50-year-old birthday parties.
Tickle parties are not a part of 50-year-old
grown men.
No,
I didn't realize. Okay,
50-year-old people do not tickle 20-year-old staffers. I'm sorry, it just doesn't happen.
It was a tickle the old guy party. All right, were there gladiators involved or? And I know this seems odd, but it has led some to the conclusion, like Larry King, that perhaps Eric Massa might be gay.
We need the other drama sting for the gay.
The gay, that he may, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that, but that almost was the most offensive thing, wasn't it, to gay people? So I guess Larry King finally asked him, are you gay? And he said, that's offensive to ask.
I am not going to answer that. That is offensive to gays and lesbians, he said.
It's offensive to be called a gay or lesbian?
That was the implication.
Mm-hmm. I see.
To me, that's the bigger story of yesterday than the whole Glenn Beck thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And plus, here's a guy from the left. I mean, he doesn't have the the hypocrisy angle that a lot of these Republicans do, that have literally like zero ratings
and,
from gay groups for voting for equal rights on anything. I mean, but so that's why the story is just sort of even odder.
And he's been at the forefront of repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and all of that. He's been a friend of the gay community, which is why I don't understand why he said it would be an insult to be called gay.
Yeah. And if he is gay, fine. If he's not gay, fine. I don't. The story's just weird.
I don't.
I think part of it is just that his explanation has shifted like four or five times for things. And he talks about. I mean, the fact that he turned on the White House and Democrats and said, "Oh, they pushed me out because of health care," it just doesn't
ring
true.
Because
first of all, people were saying it's up to him. Most members of Congress that are investigated by the ethics, they stay in until the investigation is complete. This is what people are saying, and not like we've been saying on the show, because it may not be, what's the word? I mean, the whisper campaigns, or, I was saying, you you see one Washington reporter after another saying, this is the tip of the iceberg, and you're saying, okay, well, what do you know? I mean, it's just stuff that's but clearly that's the implication, is that this ethics thing was going to get bad, and that because nobody forced him out.
Right.
Most congresspeople stay in until he could have stayed in and voted on health care. Like, nobody told him to leave. That was his decision and the timing.
Yeah, so. Dennis Kucinich is staying in even though he's going to vote against health care.
Yes. Yes. Well, I mean, my point is that it seemed like it was more the.
Right. Right.
Well, whatever. I don't. Yes, the whole. It actually. Then it takes on a kind of sadness thing, doesn't it? Because you're just like, wow, this guy is having some kind of meltdown, and I don't even know what it's about exactly. He's cancer.
Cancer.
I mean, you don't know the mental stresses he may be under. But I mean, this is just. It's just wacky behavior.
Yeah, it's a bit of a public meltdown, and it makes me kind of sad.
Right. Well, I mean, at first, you thought, oh, God, he's letting the conservatives use him now because, he's going to try to prove their point about the Obama administration. Mm-hmm. And by the way, that's supposed to be some damaging revelation that they're hell-bent on getting health care done? Yes, the president's been saying that for a year. Yes, they think it's really important to get health care done.
Right.
So, that's some sort of damaging revelation.
And his thing about, Rahm Emanuel being mean to him, it's Rahm Emanuel's job to do some arm twisting on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, I know. No, I mean,
he'd be remiss if he didn't.
Unfortunately, that's the thing. I think the only one that looks bad in this is Eric Massa.
Yeah,
so it's,
unfortunately.
It's, and I just, like I say, I have no idea what the combination of things is, whether it's, illness or whether it is struggling with sexuality. I don't know what it is, but it's, anyway. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, we have more on that. And I know I've said this many times, but okay, it's the last push for healthcare now. This is it. We're doing this thing now. All right.
All right.
So back with all of that. In the meantime, I'm fired up and ready to go. You know why, Chris.
Why?
Because I'm a P90X gal now.
Yes, you are.
And I'm getting ready. Tony Horton, my trainer from my P90X DVDs, he's going to join me in studio. Soon. So I'm getting all, that's motivation.
Right.
Most people don't have him pop out of their television to check out their muscle tone, for God's sake.
Wouldn't you like to check out his muscle tone?
Yes, I would.
Well.
I love my P90X. I talk about it every day, but I'm serious. Every day you put in a DVD, you can do it at home, you can do it with your dogs, with your kids. I love it because, as you know, I'm an elderly shut-in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like to leave home. So... That's the good news. And the other good news is it's different every day. There's cardio, there's strength training, there's yoga. It works your body from virtually every single angle. And it motivates you. It's motivated me to eat better. It's motivated me to do other cardio stuff outside of that. Because some women like to do more cardio to get leaner. Some guys do more weights to get more bulked up, whatever. But P90X, check it out. Right now I've got a 90-day exclusive in-home trial. You can try it with Mama for the full 90 days if you're not completely satisfied. Return it for a refund. Call P90X now, 800-509-9FIT. That's 800-509-9FIT. Or go right to stephaniemiller.com now. Click on the banner ad for P90X. Take the challenge with Mama. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I am shocked and appalled.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 25 minutes after the hour. It is too early for Corey.
Yeah.
References of any kind. However, can I just say something, and it's not meant to be a joke?
What?
I literally did think it was a different Corey.
You thought it was the other Corey?
Corey Haim was found dead this morning of a drug overdose, and I literally, because I had
Corey Feldman.
Corey Feldman on my late night, but I literally, I was like, I thought it was the other, yes.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, but it's very sad. Another
very
child
sad,
star.
But not entirely unexpected. I mean, Corey Haim has had troubles with drugs for years and years and years and years and years and years.
Yeah.
So it's still sad.
Yeah, no, I know. It's one of those things, like, you know, Michael Jackson, when you just think, oh, it's not a surprise, and yet it somehow is shocking at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, sad, at least. Anyway. Anyway, so, yeah, a lot of breaking news this morning. Mm-hmm. All right. I got to hear the tickle party again. So, Eric Massa, wow. You'd think that, here's the other thing, Chris, don't you, when you resign, it's because you want to get out of the media spotlight?
Yeah.
You know. And then he goes on to pretty much every show. He went on Glenn Beck and Larry King last night?
And Larry King last night, yep.
Yeah. Okay, this is on Glenn Beck.
Now they're saying I groped a male staffer. Yeah, I did. Not only did I grope him, I tickled him until he couldn't breathe, and then four guys jumped on top of me. It's my 50th birthday. It was kill the old guy. I did nothing sexual. I did things that were wrong. I should not have allowed myself to be that familiar with my staff.
Okay.
What was the look on Glenn Beck's face like, or Larry King's face when they were, it just...
Glenn Beck just got more and more disgusted by the whole thing. And at the end, Glenn Beck was embarrassed that he had Eric Massa on for the hour.
Well, that's where I'm saying, I understand the media's job is to get ratings, but at some point, this guy is in the middle of some sort of weird, really sad meltdown that I think is, you know. So this is Eric Massa on the Larry King Live last night.
I am leaving because I have to fight simultaneously a potential reoccurrence of cancer, the Democratic leadership, a health care bill that's going to destroy this country, my opposition to it, and a belief that my party has become what it became, what it campaigned against. It's a very, very clear situation.
Oy vey. First of all, as I said, I guess the most significant thing that popped out in the news story to me, Chris, is he has, of course, put himself outside the reach of the Ethics Committee by...
That's right.
Resigning, which looks suspicious, dare I say it.
Well, and now he's under the jurisdiction of, you know, law enforcement instead of just
the
ethics
committee. Well, I mean, this is the third thing. First it was, you know, the cancer, and then it was his, you know, the ethics thing, and then it was Democrats in the White House pushed him out because of health care. And it's like, and what is he talking about that's going to destroy the country? By the way, I got some great. I don't know if you saw Wendell Potter. First of all, he's the former insurance executive on MSNBC. I think he was on Ed's show. But you know, a lot of people that know what they're talking about why we've got to take this deal. That know it's not perfect and yada yada. But I mean, for a Democrat to say it's going to destroy the country, it's going to insure 30 million more people. First of all,
right,
and not let insurance companies drop you know, people with pre-existing conditions. That alone, I think, is worth fighting for. Anyway, so. The problem is, this is the latest claim in the changing stream of explanations that have propelled him to be a darling of conservative talk shows until...
until yesterday.
Even they've now turned on him.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, Massa could have stayed in Congress and cast votes on health care in the coming weeks, even as he awaited the results of the health ethics panel probe. Most lawmakers, as I mentioned earlier, facing congressional ethics investigations remain in office. Robert Gibbs, White House press secretary.
On Wednesday, he announced he would not seek re-election because... of a health problem that he said was a recurrence of cancer. On Thursday, he said he wasn't running not because of cancer, but because of his use of salty language. On Friday, he seemed to take some responsibility for his actions at a different event. And we learned that the Ethics Committee was looking into his actions relating to sexual harassment.
All right, right back with what all this means for healthcare as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, well, you can't make sense out of them.
Stephanie Miller.
They're like beautiful puzzles with missing pieces, or a great book with no ending. Or, like my old man used to say, they're all friggin' nuts.
34 minutes after the hour, Dow is up 16 points. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Ian, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, guys. I guess I was just calling because I'm wondering what you think about this. I kind of feel like maybe he said it's offensive that anybody would ask him if he's gay because, you know, every time
he says
like
it was
happens,
offensive to gay people, which I don't understand.
Well,
that,
I guess my take on it is I think he maybe said that because, you know, every time something like this happens, we just, you know, it's just, oh, well, he's a gay person. And it, like if he had been caught doing something inappropriate with children and somebody asked, are you gay? I think he probably would have had the same response. I think it's just his battling the idea, and I'm not saying anything that he did was right, but I think, you know, there's a lot of, you know, stereotyping out there that, you know, people who do weird things are just gay, and that's just their, you know, that's their problem. And I wonder if you think that that's maybe
why. Well, I mean, but obviously I think in this instance, you know, whether he is gay or not, I don't know. And you know, that's what makes me a little hinky, because I really do think that is private, and he isn't somebody that is, you know, has voted against gay people. Like Chris was saying, he's been out front on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He's not a hypocrite. I just think he seems to be in some sort of emotional meltdown, and I don't know whether it's cancer related or it's you know, but I think it's sad, whatever it is. So
yeah, he's definitely no Mark Foley.
Right,
that much.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
I
an understatement.
Yeah, no, exactly. And so I don't know what he meant by that, but I think his behavior has nothing to do with being gay. If he is, it has to do with just, like I say, being somewhat unhinged.
Well, it's also,
in my opinion, at this point.
And also, you know, some inappropriate behavior. You know, tickle parties with you know, people who work under him. That's highly inappropriate.
Right. Well, I, you don't know if it's that's the problem, is we're all speculating. You don't know whether that kind of behavior comes from, like in some of these other cases we've seen, where somebody for whatever reason doesn't, you know, feel comfortable being a normal gay person, and so, you know, they engage in behavior like that. That's, you know, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if it's a Larry Craig thing. I don't know what it is, but
I don't know that it's a Larry Craig thing, just because Massa is so pro-gay, and Larry Craig was so anti-gay.
That's what makes it puzzling, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, we'll continue to speculate mindlessly, which is what we do here in talk radio.
That's what we do.
For the rest of the show. All right. Julie in Seattle sends us some fun facts. You know, it's we get a lot of these callers. And Julie's trying to help us out here. Mama, a super smart Harvard econ professor, provides answers to all of Mama's disgruntled. The public option is the only thing that can control cost callers. And the even more annoying, I haven't heard of anything specific in this bill that will control cost callers. Yes, we get those. Professor Cutler says it will save $600 billion in costs over the next 10 years, and even more in the next decade, where the CBO has calculated that will reduce the federal deficit by at least $1 trillion. Which, you know, I think the president has been making the case, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chris, yesterday, today,
yep.
You know, over the last, as we're in this final quarter.
Today in St. Louis, he's got a big speech.
Yeah. This is worth checking out. It's a Wall Street Journal opinion piece, Health Reform Passes the Cost Test, by David Cutler. He says many people are worried that the health care reform proposed by President Obama and congressional Democrats will fail to bend the cost curve. Over the past year of debate, 10 broad ideas have been offered for bending the health care cost curve. The Democrats' proposed legislation incorporates virtually every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think people don't get. I was at lunch yesterday with actually the big boss of our company here.
Yes.
And he was like, yeah, people don't understand this healthcare thing. And that's not the first friend I've heard that from. And I think that's the problem, is people don't realize the Republicans keep saying, well, controlling costs is the main thing. The insurance companies are not the problem. It's like both are the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And this health care bill does address both. It addresses insurance companies and the costs. I mean, how much more cut and dried can you say it? It will save $600 billion in costs over the next 10 years. It will reduce the deficit by $1 trillion. I mean, that right there. Anyway, but, you know, he goes down to, and you can go through it, he goes down to annotate all 10 of the 10 broadest ideas that are in there.
Mm-hmm.
They're in there. They're Republican ideas and Democratic ideas. He says, what is on the table is the most significant action on medical spending ever proposed in the United States. Should we really walk away from that? And he is a professor of economics at Harvard, if that means anything to anybody.
That kind of means something.
It's not just some guy. And the other guy, you've probably seen him a lot on TV, Wendell Potter. He's the former health insurance and company executive who's turned whistleblower. And where are you going to get more of the unvarnished truth than this guy? And I have to say, so Julie sends along this one as well. Dear Steph, more fodder to appease the perfectionists among Mama's callers who want to spit out the whole health care bill because it's not changey enough. Former health insurance executive turned activist Wendell Potter, one of the industry's severest critics, says take the deal, essentially. She listened to Ed on his radio show this week, passionately asking wavering liberals in the House to pass the Senate bill because it would be unconscionable to abandon the 30 million Americans who will get covered under this bill, citing Potter's advice. He also said if the president loses on this, that's the end of any hope of getting any insurance reform of any kind. This is what I've been saying, Chris, right, is that I understand people's concerns.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and I'm not as qualified as a Wendell Potter, but that is my feeling, too. We got to take this deal.
Right.
I mean, how you walk away from 30 million Americans and just say, well, that's not important or that's not significant enough. But at any rate, I mean, and he also talks about, because the one thing we hear a lot, right, Chris, from callers, from a lot of people, is giving more all these new customers to the insurance companies without a public option.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll quote Wendell Potter.
Okay.
This is... He says, if there is reform, yeah, they'll get new customers, but they'll have to live in a world that has a lot more restrictions, a lot more oversight than they've been used to. See, this reminds me, because I made this analogy, all the right-wingers screaming amnesty when we tried to get comprehensive immigration reform,
mm-hmm.
when Kennedy and McCain tried to get, they just automatically gave amnesty to 50 million people by doing nothing. They've done nothing about it, and by the way, this is going to happen again.
Right.
You know, immigration reform is coming up again. So that's the thing, is because, talk about, you know, the perfect being the enemy of good. I mean, if we throw this whole thing out like the Republicans are talking about, nobody gets nothing. All right. Well, I'm not done with my fun facts.
Fine.
Wendell Potter said, we need, so that's what I'm saying. So is the answer to just let insurance companies keep operating the way they're operating now?
Hells
I don't
to
think
the no.
So. Hell, thank you. Mm-hmm. Mama's testifying. Thank you. Wendell Potter said, we need these kinds of restrictions. A lot of these insurance company practices should have been made illegal a long time ago, but we've never been able to get even this close to getting that done. There are too many people who are counting on this passing. Potter also said it was an encouraging sign to see 37 senators support a public option in reconciliation. That gave it a momentum to getting such an option passed into law later on, which is what I said yesterday. If it isn't included in the legislation this time, I think there's really hope we can have a public option. Maybe I am too hopey and changey. Maybe this hopey-changey thing is working out too well for me, Chris.
You've been accused
I'm just saying.
You've been accused of that before, being too hopey and changey.
What? My Republican brother just sent me some anti-Obama opinion piece by someone that used to support him. Can I just say I'm tired of people shooting spitballs at the president? Get out and get a hose or a rake or whatever it is he always tells us to grab to help.
A mop.
You know what I'm saying?
A mop.
A mop. A mop, a hose, a rake. Crowd pooper scoop or something. Oh, I'm just tired of it. I mean, this guy has taken nothing but since the day he took office. And it's like there's this sort of glee in that, oh, he's not, you know, numbers are down or whatever. Anyway, all right, I'm not done with my fun facts. Okay, Wendell Potter says, the work of health reform does not end with the passage of the current legislation and it becoming law. Potter also agreed if we don't get this bill done, health care reform will likely be delayed for more than another decade yet. Let's be clear about one thing. Nobody on the left is talking about giving up on a Medicare-like option that all Americans can buy into. Those who agree with my side of the debate are, however, arguing that we do not hold comprehensive health reform hostage to such a demand. Wendell Potter agrees. Ed Heston, so Mr. Potter, you're saying that the liberals are having a hard time with this. Take the deal. Wendell Potter said, take the deal. I understand why they don't like the deal, but we've got to have this deal, or many more of us are going to be suffering, and we cannot wait any longer. We've got to get something done. So here's, I think, one of the best, because a lot of people, Chris, I think, are arguing without really knowing what's in the bill.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a good roundup. At the end of the day, when all is said and done, the health care reform package will give 31 million, actually, additional Americans health insurance. massively expand community health centers with an additional $11 billion in funding, expand Medicaid, and have the federal government pick up the vast majority of the tab, create exchanges with both state and federal oversights in which Americans can shop for the best deals, provide Americans who need it with federal financial assistance to purchase health insurance, provide a basic benefits package based on the members of the same thing the members of Congress get, strengthen Medicare, stop over-subsidizing private insurance to provide the same service as Medicare, outlaw the worst insurance company practices like denying insurance based on pre-existing conditions, outlaw annual and lifetime limits on health insurance plans, institute other strong insurance regulations, require that insurance companies spend 85% of premium dollars providing care. All in all, I don't think it's a bad deal at all, especially as a foundation and the first step in health care reform. Let's take this deal, get this done, and keep working for more and better reforms in the future. Wender Potter, former health insurance company executive, who ought to know, Chris.
He knows a little something about a little something.
Here's what I'm saying. All right. The president yesterday
talked. The insurance companies continue to ration health care based on who's sick and who's healthy, on who can pay and who can't pay.
Death panel.
That's the status quo in America, and it is a status quo that is unsustainable for this country. We can't have a system that works better for the insurance companies than it does for the American people.
Hell to the yes. Okay, 45.
Don't do that.
That doesn't sound as good.
No.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour. back with all the latest on what's going to happen and when. Very, very key on healthcare as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Have no fear. Steffi's here. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. I said, are you gonna be my girl?
Ah. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Mike in Chicago on Eric Massa. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Steph. Hey, Chris. I TiVo'd the Glenn Beck Show. I've watched it 5 times now. If anyone gets a chance, don't even look at Eric Massa. Just stare at Glenn Beck's face during the whole interview. Watch him fidgeting with his pen. He's just watching his ratings circling the drain, and there's nothing he can do about it. If you go on Glenn Beck's website, also, you can now buy survival seeds so you can plant your own crisis garden. Alex Jones called. He'd like his paranoia back.
Right.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable.
Well, I mean, this is what happens. The right is so anxious to get, you know, anything against, you know, this White House or Democrats. And you know, the problem is, let's face it, they find gayness to be icky.
Exactly.
If he is gay, now then they're like, oh, we don't want this guy on our side, you know? I mean, it's... Yeah, exactly. All right. Sorry, Mike, you're getting choppy there. Dave in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Dave.
Hi.
Yeah, hi, go ahead.
Mooch, in the case of Eric Massage, when you're too deep in a hole, quit digging.
Right.
Don't get a steam shovel or a backhoe.
I believe we officially can call it Massagate now. It's because he was trying to help that guy.
Stephanie Louise Miller.
Finish massagating, as you know. Mm-hmm. All right, Dave. Thank you. Sanchez and Montebello. Hola, ¿qué tal? Adios mío, mi amigo.
This portion of the Mamacita y los Mookies show is brought to you by the new Patron Reposado Shampoo and Conditioning Rinse. Keep your hair healthy, happy, and shiny with 2 daily shots of Patron Reposado Shampoo and Conditioner. Why give your liver all the fun? Give your hair a party with the new Patron Reposado Shampoo and Conditioner.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Mamacita, you were talking about our dear Rebecca. How come you didn't tell her what she's actually doing?
Rebecca will be back April 1st, unless that's an April Fool's joke on us.
April 5th.
Yes, and actually, I know what she's actually doing. She's out on tour right now with her one-woman tribute to the top 10 punk rock drummers of all time, including the Germs, the Screamers, and the Dead Kennedys.
Wow.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think she's going to be at the Whiskey next weekend, so check her out.
That is completely incorrect. Rebecca is dealing with some family matters, and we will be thrilled to have her back April 5th. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, the thing with Eric Massa, I was just listening to one of the other networks. works right now. And they were just mentioning a breaking story. Besides all this hanky-panky tickle party stuff,
yes.
I just heard that way, way back last year on November 25th, Eric Massa invited all the male members of his office staff to a Spanksgiving party.
Oh, now, see there. Thank you, Sanchez.
Yeah, boy.
That's not, we have no information on that either. Let's go to David in San Francisco on the healthcare debate. Hey, Dave.
Oh, I was going to bring the show down, but he just did a heck of a job bringing it up. You know, it's funny, he was mentioning Beck, and Beck isn't even cost-effective. Didn't he lose 80 sponsors, including Procter & Gamble? So
yes.
How he even looks at ratings, he's sponsored by Nazi Gold or something. I mean, there's no way. Hey, but, you know, I was going to bring up this whole medical thing. They essentially are pulling the same scam they did 1,000 times in centuries before and saying it's not cost-effective to let the slaves live. And so they're, you know, whether they have the salt wars or whatever, but they're essentially telling us that we can't afford to let you live and you're just going to have to die for the good of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And I was interested in going into med school back in the 80s, and there was a scandal that was starting to emerge with the med schools in that they were being convinced that with the baby boom coming in, if they reduced the number of new med students, the freshman med students, they reduced that, they'd have supply and demand over the baby boom. And the med schools were, honest to God, reducing their incoming med students, and now we're reaping the results of it. And, we've got to get, the med schools to get honorable again and have med students that are trained, who are actually the personality interested in healing people rather than being, blood-sucking, lousy physicians.
Well, all right. Thank you, Dave. I don't mean to say it's in the insurance company's fault, but it's pretty much the insurance company's fault.
Yeah.
I don't blame doctors, as much. Oh, in fact, there was a doctor at the dinner party I was at last night. And
boy,
that was
a highfalutin dinner party.
I was at a highfalutin dinner party that would have made Bill O'Reilly's head explode.
Liberals
head
as far
ACLU
as the
ICLU was there. There were gay people there. That was.
Oh, no, you were humanizing homosexuals.
Exactly. It was a whole thing.
Humanizes homosexuals.
Yes. They were eating food.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, what was my point?
Doctor.
Oh, he was saying there does need to be some tort reform. I mean, the problem is,
sure.
On both ends of the spectrum, you have people, the Republicans make it sound like that's the whole of health reform, and it is not.
And also, the right wants to make it so you can't sue your doctor for anything, and that's absolutely wrong.
Yeah, there is a happy medium there. But anyway, bust out the tiny violin. The health insurance industry defends their massive profits, claiming they're being vilified. Wah. I think I speak for all of us when I say wah. The top five earning insurance companies averaged profits of $12.2 billion, an increase of $4.4 billion, or 56% from 2008. That's not really hard to understand, is it? Anybody listening, did your profits go up 56% from the previous year?
No.
Shut up. I'm not talking about present company.
Okay.
Saying anybody listening. And in 2008, the CEO compensation for these companies ranged from $3 million to $24 million. Because, they're putting out these misleading ads now is what they normally do, Chris. Have you seen this thing they're saying? For every dollar spent on healthcare in America, less than one penny goes toward health plan profits. The focus needs to be on the other 99 cents. Yeah, well, Insurers have responded to the administration's campaign against recent rate hikes by blaming the increasing health care costs, provider cost increases, and adverse selection, healthier Americans dropping coverage for their premium increases. To hear them tell it, the insurance industry is a low-profit industry that spends just 1 cent of every premium dollar on administration and strives to reduce costs by encouraging efficiencies. Insurers do not deserve to be vilified for political purposes. Oh, by the way,
what?
Speaking of political, but guess where a lot of your money is going?
Where?
To run television ads on cable stations beginning in the next few days to push back on the attacks on insurance companies. The argument the insurers run a tight ship is misleading on several counts, not the least of which the fact that insurers are planning to spend more than $1 million not on health care plans, but on those very same TV ads. So, we feel your pain.
Sucks to be them.
Pardon us if we don't get a rat's ass. All right, let's go to Marvin and Juliet. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Marv. Good morning. Hey, good morning. I wish there'd be more definition on how we could save money. That's what's. I wish we Barack would do a little better job on that. But the $1 trillion. But what I find amazing and galling is that Republicans are still spinning this.
Well,
thing
we're
like,
going to save $600 billion over the next 10 years, according to the Harvard economist that I just quoted.
I wish they'd say how, though. You know, but listen, what I find galling is they're still calling it a massive government takeover. And from what I see, it's just we're really forced. It's actually a boondoggle for the insurance companies. We're basically forcing people to buy into
all right.
private...
58.
Private
Thank you, honey. Thank you, Marvin. Oh, somebody didn't listen to Mama.
Nope.
I just explained that whole thing. I'll do it again if I have to. 58 minutes to the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, the Dow is up 13 points. Oh, thank God Jim's here. We can start the naked tickle party.
Yeah,
Stephanie,
but not in a gay way. No.
No. StephanieMiller.com wow. is the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller.
I love Glenn Beck's look. He put his hand over his mouth. Oh, my God, what have I done? They can go away.
All right. Listen, for this last caller before the top of the break, Chris...
He was
Can I have my fun facts music, please?
He was a right-wing plant. That's what he was.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't listen to what you were saying before.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me review. For those of you, this is the boondoggle. This is the giveaway of the insurance companies. I think I mentioned a super smart Harvard economy professor. He's a professor of economics, Jim, at Harvard.
What do you know? Yeah, Obama went to Harvard.
So did Bill,
my case.
So did Bill O'Reilly.
Ooh. Wow.
Professor Cutler says it will save $600 billion in costs over the next 10 years and even more. In the next decade, the CBO has calculated it will reduce the federal deficit by at least $1 trillion.
Yeah, a lot of those guys know.
Professor Cutler says what is on the table is the most significant action on medical spending ever proposed in the United States. Should we really walk away from that?
Computer says no.
I think his implication is no.
Yeah, but where's the birth certificate, huh?
10 broad ideas have been offered for bending the health care cost curve. The Democrats' proposed legislation incorporates virtually every one of them. Every one of them, including Republican ideas. They're all in there. In there.
Yeah, but what about Kenya?
Wendell Potter, insurance company, former health insurance company executive turned whistleblower, said if there is reform, yeah, they'll get new customers, but they'll have to live in a world that has a lot more restrictions, a lot more oversight than they've been used to. We need these kind of restrictions. A lot of these practices should have been made illegal a long time ago, but we've never been able to get this close to getting that done.
Nothing but a warped, frustrated young man. Man, you're worth more dead than alive.
Not that Mr. Potter.
Oh, no, wrong Potter.
Wendell Potter.
Ah.
All right. And that was Jim Ward, the Emmy-winning Jim Ward in the role of the right-wing dunce that calls every progressive radio show. All right, it's Wednesday. That means it's time for... It's Frisch. It's time for Carl Frisch.
Carl.
Carl Frisch.
Exciting.
For Media Matters for America.
Or, as he's known around the offices at Media Matters, Lady Guy-Guy.
Lady Guy-Guy?
Welcome to the Father, tickle party.
I'm being tickled. Oh, gosh. I don't know if you guys heard that Fox News is offering pay-per-view this weekend.
Uh-oh.
Oh, really?
It's a tickle party to end all tickle parties.
Oh, no.
Between Glenn Beck, Air Massa, with special guest referee Bill O'Reilly and a lifelike falafel.
Yeah, this is the problem, right? Like, they thought that, you know, he's going to be, he was their media darling now, the conservatives, because they could use him, you know, against the administration and health care and all that. And then there's the problem, right? Is anything that has a hint of the gay on it, it suddenly becomes icky to the right wing, right?
Well, you know, I think I was more surprised that when Massa pulled out the yearbook, because I don't think Glenn Beck had ever seen a yearbook before.
I missed that part. But,
out a yearbook to show what it was like in the military, and people would call it a Caligulan orgy, is what Massa said. So, you know, I don't know why they thought bringing on a salty sailor was going to help them out. You had Michelle Malkin on the radio show talking to Beck the morning before the interview, telling him not to do it, not to give a Democrat another platform. And, Glenn Beck said, I've just wasted an hour of your life. And,
yep. Yeah. Oh, funny you should mention that. Let's dive in.
Just 1 hour?
let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we? Glenn Beck last night after
America,
it imploded.
I'm going to shoot straight with you. I think I've wasted your time. I think this is the first time I have wasted an hour of your time, and I apologize for that. Because I think we could have spent a lot less time you backtracking a lot.
Yeah. That's the problem, right, with this Eric Massa thing. It's like the third or fourth, you know, allegation in, and I think what people keep missing, Eric, is most congresspeople stay in until the ethics investigation is complete. It was his decision to leave, correct?
Yeah, and I'll say this. When I worked in Congress, I worked for the Rules Committee, which has oversight over the Ethics Committee, and nobody leaks from the Ethics Committee. It's probably the only institution in Congress that's truly bipartisan. Complete, you know, it's got the same number of Democrats as Republicans. The staff is all chosen by both parties, et cetera. They don't leak because it could be harmful to other investigations in the future. So it could put one party at jeopardy in the future. From reading the stories, it sounds like it was his own staff. So the idea that he could go on there without backtracking at all, and Glenn Beck was going to have some new sidekick to replace maybe the chalkboard or something.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Charles Krauthammer on the Britt Baer show on the healthcare bill.
This is going to be overwhelmingly expensive. We are in a huge amount of debt already now. We are going over a cliff in terms of fiscal sanity. Medicare is going broke, and we're adding a new entitlement. And that's why when you put all the elements together and you ask as a package, are you opposed or in favor, you get overwhelmingly negative results. Americans are able to add up the cost and the benefits and decide in this particular proposal and package, it's not worth it.
Republicans want Medicare to fail. It's been their plan since 1965.
Yes, it's because asshats like you keep putting out that same lie. Carl, I don't know if you heard before the break, but as the president has said, the CBO calculated it will reduce the federal deficit by at least $1 trillion. It will save $600 billion in medical costs over the next 10 years. It just, how many times, I mean, it just literally, it becomes at some point right-wing world is just the opposite of what's true.
How dare you use the CBO to defend your position? They're nonpartisan. You have to use Fox News members. It is interesting to watch people like Krauthammer try and spin this and use public polling, because what they don't want to let everybody know is what we all know, that when you actually explain what's in the legislation, people like it. And the perfect example is, Frank Luntz had that focus group on Fox talking about health care reform. I think it was just a couple days ago. And he asked everybody, he said, how many of you want to see this passed with 51 votes using reconciliation? And about half the hands went up. And then he kind of backtracked a little and said, the nuclear option. And then like five hands went down. So I think Fox News knows exactly what they're doing.
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly it. They count on people being misinformed, and they do their damnedest to make sure people are misinformed. And it really is infuriating. I mean, that's and when you, like you say, when you even look at the polls, that's infuriating. You know, it's just because literally when you explain exactly what the plan is, people are overwhelmingly for it. I mean,
right. It reminds me of 2002 with the war and Fox News viewers believing even 2 years later that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction and had been working with Osama bin Laden.
Yes. Well, apparently Carl Rove still believes that. All right. O'Reilly on the health care bill.
So the only chance Mr. Obama has in the court of public opinion is to demonize the insurance companies, make them even more loathsome than a federal intrusion. The whole health care controversy is a no-win situation for we the people. Insurance companies aren't going to control prices on their own. They want to make money. But Obamacare could lead into even more chaos and expense.
Wow. Fearmonger much?
Obama really has to work hard to make the insurance industry more loathsome than they are already.
Right. Yeah. All right. Charles Krauthammer on O'Reilly. Here we go again with the Europe.
They look across at Europe, as you say, with economic stagnation, chronically high unemployment. Our unemployment is high now, but not chronically high. They have a lot less dynamism in their society. We have a lot more. Obama has a vision that that's the better way to go. The majority of Americans, I believe, disagree, and that's why the major elements of his agenda are being stopped.
If anybody knows dynamism, it's Charles Krauthammer. A wordsmith and a compelling public figure. It's funny because if we were actually proposing something that was Canadian style or European style, he might have a point.
Right.
But if you were to explain what we're proposing to Europe, I met with some people from the German government a couple days ago to talk about what Media Matters does, and they were perplexed because to them what we're proposing is pretty minuscule. It's nothing like what Western European countries have or what many countries have.
Right. Well, and it's that word they keep using too, right, Carl, the entitlement. We're not giving free health care to people. This isn't, you know what I'm saying? It's like they make this sound like it's we're handing out free candy or something. I mean, it just...
Right, people still have to pay for it.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess what they oppose is the area of entitlement in the proposal, which is for the very, very poor. And I think that's something we've always known about conservatives, is that, in the words of Stephen Colbert, they want people to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps when they don't even have boots.
Exactly. All right. 17 minutes after the hour, Carl Frisch remains in the sidecar. We continue with a Scotchmore right-wing world next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
You'll cheer, you'll cry, you might even get a cheap laugh or two.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It's a beautiful day. Sky falls, you feel like it's a beautiful day. Can we get away?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, Carl Frisch remains in the sidecar for Right Wing World for Media Matters for America. Carl, you know, I had a hilarious idea. That I would like to be the James O'Keefe of the left, and I think you can help me in this.
I don't have a video camera.
Or
we
a
can buy
costume.
That. We can buy. No, I got invited to a dinner party here in New York last night, and the head of the ACLU was there, a famous lesbian comedian, and I thought this dinner party would make Bill O'Reilly's head explode. And I was thinking, like, I just started talking about how much I love Castro and we don't give terrorists enough spa treatments. I think they're stupid enough to pick up that story and think it was real, don't you?
They probably would, and it wouldn't matter that you were riding around on a unicorn.
I would dress in an outrageous whore costume, and you could wear your pimp outfit, and it would be hilarious, don't you think?
I think it'd be fun.
All right, Carl Rove, there he is again on Hannity. Why, this old story again.
We acted on the basis of what we knew. There was a consensus in the intelligence community worldwide and a bipartisan consensus here at home. And so for Democrats like Kerry and Edwards and Clinton, who voted for the war, to later say Bush lied, or like Kennedy, who voted against it but nonetheless shared in that opinion, was deeply damaging to the country, but also reflective of an absence of character in those people.
Carl Rove just said someone else has a lack of character.
Yeah. Right. Turd Blossom says that.
Yeah.
And, he claims that, and this is, he's talking about his book, and which came out yesterday, and we got our hands on about a week in advance. He claims in the book that Bush statements were backed up by the intelligence. This is, again, them trying to rewrite history. The Senate report that he cites in the book and that he just cited on Hannity actually found that Bush made statements that were not substantiated or were contradicted by intelligence. So, of course, that's not in his book.
Yeah. No, I know. Oh. And I think Matt Lauer was the only one that even vaguely called him on it, isn't he? You know, there was not a consensus. You don't get to keep rewriting history.
And the people who did agree with us were fed false information by us.
Precisely. And for him to make those claims, and one of the things that needs to be made clear is that Rove and the Bush White House manipulated the intelligence and cherry-picked it. So when it was presented to people on the Hill, they weren't getting the full picture.
Yeah, well, exactly. They cite people, whether it's Kerry or Edwards or, you know, Clinton, who were shown the wrong and cherry-picked and twisted intelligence.
We liked them, and they believed us.
Yeah.
What a bunch of saps.
What a bunch of idiots, I know. All right, Karl Rove again.
Look, if you're a Democrat, you've got to be aware that after Massachusetts, they passed this, and you're in one of those 48 districts that Bush carried or McCain carried, or one of the 83 districts that Bush or McCain carried at least once, you're in deep trouble.
Yes, and whatever happened to that permanent Republican majority that you were so right about?
Scott Brown.
Or the polling in Massachusetts after the Senate race that said that they liked health care and that it wasn't why they voted for Scott Brown.
Right, what do they know?
Exactly. What do they know about what they voted for and why? Exactly. All right, Carl Frisch, our Media Matters for America buddy. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. He's Frisch, as usual.
Yes, he is.
It is Frisch.
And Frisch actually does mean fresh in German.
Well, what do you know about that?
Yeah. Interesting. All right. O'Reilly is going to take that story and run with it, by the way, his story about meeting with the German socialists or
whatever.
You know, it's going to be another O'Reilly head explosion there. All right. Here's the thing. I think, as I've said, I think if I have to talk about healthcare anymore, I will stick something in my eye.
Something which sharp.
I already, yes. So I was pleased to actually hear a date. March 18th is what they were saying.
Mm-hmm.
So now Steny Hoyer has said that might not be the... Okay. He says, don't confuse the House timeline with the White House timeline. Majority Leader Steny Hoyer warned yesterday. None of us has mentioned the 18th other than Mr. Gibbs, he said, in a question about whether Congress can pass the health care package by March 18th, the date laid out by Robert Gibbs. We are trying to do this as soon as possible. That continues to be our objective. In the meantime, Hoyer said an internal fight over abortion restrictions needs to be resolved. You know what stuck in my craw this morning is that, there's one side is Stupak, and the other side is Blanche Lincoln.
Stupak gave a little bit of an indication yesterday that he's backing down somewhat. That he might be open to some compromise.
Yes, he used the word optimistic or whatever. Steny Hoyer did say, I think it will be resolved one way or another, and I think the bill will pass. So that was hopeful news. Blanche Lincoln, meanwhile, insisted she remains opposed to pushing a health care bill through the Senate with a simple majority vote, saying she wants to see what's in the legislation. Yeah, apparently she hasn't been paying attention for the previous year. It's about health care. Why, I didn't even look at it yet.
I didn't she said, say I so.
Uh-huh. I don't support reconciliation. All I said is I want to see what's in it, she told reporters before she quickly walked into the senators only area without elaborating. Don't you, isn't that like that kid game, Jim, where it's like, this is the safe area? This is where you can't touch me now. I'm in this. Like that damn elevator, that the senators only elevator.
Excuse me. This is the senator's elevator.
Yeah, like we can't see you or hear you in there.
I'm invisible.
Yes, the cone of silence.
Yes, it's like a kid's safe area.
Silence.
I'm in the senator elevator. I know, but we can see you, and we can still hear you.
I thought Stupak Shakur was dead.
Huh.
All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Excuse me, but NPR called
Stephanie Miller.
An enchanting journey of self-discovery.
Huh?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Might be the first time you've ever been called enchanting.
I am enchanting. Mm. 34 minutes after the hour. John in Durham, North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Mm-hmm. Welcome, John.
Hey, you know, y'all have missed Massa's greatest moment with Beck. When Beck asked him what recommendations he would make, and he said people should stop calling names like socialist and communist, and you should have seen Beck go blank inside. I mean, that guy's such a numbskull, you should give Chris combat pay if he has to listen to him.
I can't afford combat pay. I've got to get him health insurance. All right. Yes, let's review the Eric Massa on...
Good morning, Mr. Massa. The target of this mission is one Glenn Beck of the Fox News Network. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to infiltrate the Glenn Beck program, then backtrack on all your prior statements, and expose Beck as the reactionary fool he is. The state will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
Glenn Beck asked Congressman Eric Massa to appear on his program earlier tonight.
Secret agent man.
Mostly, what he did was make Glenn Beck apologize for his entire program. I should have never allowed myself to be as familiar with my staff as I was.
You're going to show me tickle fights?
I'm going to show you a lot more than tickle fights. It looks like an orgy in Caligula.
You're now apologizing to Rahm Emanuel. I got blood shoot out of my eyes. Okay.
Glenn Beck bet his entire show on Eric Massa and lost.
I have wasted an hour of your time, and I apologize for that.
Just now he's apologizing. Yeah. Apologize for his whole career.
Exactly. All right. Just an odd news cycle. Chris, a friend of yours just tweeted that she spent 90 minutes mourning the wrong Corey.
Yeah. Which is easy to do.
Yes. Corey Haim, sadly, was found dead this morning of an overdose. And I also thought they had the wrong picture up. It's a, yes. It's not the one with the sunglasses. I had the other one on the late
night
show.
Yeah, the one with the sunglasses.
Yes. Yes. All right. Anyway, it's a very sad story. He was only 38, mm-hmm. I believe.
But you know what? It wasn't entirely unexpected. He's had problems with drugs for years and years and years and years.
I know. And yet still sad.
It is.
All right. Robert Gibbs yesterday, White House press secretary, talking about the final push on health care reform.
The president has outlined a series of, and put on the internet, a series of fixes to that legislation that I think are important for health care reform.
Then he went on to talk about my heart sang when I heard there was an actual deadline. Could it be?
I have not been given any updated information that leads me to believe that March 18th isn't a doable day.
Except that then Stenihoyer said it might not be a doable. So we get to talk about it more. Won't that be fun, Jim?
Yeah. What was the first thing you said to me, Jim, when you walked in the door today?
healthcare, public. Healthcare, blah, blah, blah,
blah. Yeah. He said, I'm sick about talking about healthcare.
I know.
Should be talking about Tim Dickinson and Matt Taibbi's articles in Rolling Stone about how Wall Street is fixed to do the same things they were doing in 2008. And nothing has changed. So
exactly. While we think we can't breathe because of the health insurance tickle party, meanwhile we're getting by the Wall Street, even worse, from the other direction.
Weren't they supposed to start lending once we gave them all that money?
Yeah. No, I heard, what was it, an accountant was talking to, I think it was a week or so ago, said literally he's having a hard time getting a mortgage for clients of his that make $1 million a year as a couple, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what?
We were going to refinance, and we found out that no one is getting it's just impossible right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. All right. What do you call it? John Cornyn said Monday, if some type of health care legislation passes, Republican candidates across the country are poised to make it the premier issue of the fall campaign. Well, that's interesting then. As many people have said, if they think this is going to be such a disaster, why wouldn't they just, you know, drink a big cup of STFU about it and let us implode? So which is it? He said his personal preference would be to stop a bill entirely, but his campaign committee already preparing its line of attack for a scenario that assumes Democrats squeeze a bill through a controversial reconciliation process.
It's never, ever, ever, ever been used before by anyone.
which is only sort of controversial now. It's that that word is always in front of reconciliation now, whereas, you know, Jim, I have a guess the quote for you.
Ah.
The hint is it was a few years ago. Who said in 2005, if you've got 51 votes for your position, you win?
Buddy Holly and the Crickets.
Wow. No.
All of the Crickets?
Yes.
Republican Senator Judd Gregg said that back
in they were from Texas, so, you know.
Yes, Republicans claim that reconciliation, as you know, their latest thing was only intended to be used for bills dealing with the budget.
No.
In fact, when they were in power, they used reconciliation, as we know, numerous times to pass major domestic policy legislation, including the Bush tax cuts and important changes to health care policy.
Yes, that was it.
What?
Everything
Senate Republicans have used
now.
Reconciliation in the past to pass major pieces of domestic policy. In fact, 34 of the 41 present Senate Republicans have used it. Huh.
You don't understand. There's a black guy in the White House. Don't you see it? Oh, my God.
Who said in 1999, for some time, I hope that my colleagues who oppose reform would allow a majority in both bodies to prevail and do what the vast majority of the American public desires? Who said that?
Freddie and the Dreamers.
No, Republican Senator John McCain.
Eddie and the Cruisers.
Big fan back then of reconciliation. Big fan. Who said if the filibuster is the product of a rule of the Senate passed many years after the ratification of the Constitution, this rule does not derive from the authority of the Constitution? Who said that?
Gary Puckett and the Union Gap.
Republican Senator Kit Bond, who is a man named Kit.
A man named Kit. That's a Johnny Cash song, wasn't it?
All right, I'll give you a bonus round. Who said filibusters are neither an idea of the Founding Fathers nor a historical tradition of the Senate? Who said that?
Paul Revere, but not the Raiders.
No, Senator James Inhofe, Republican of Oklahoma, in 2005.
Question mark and the Assyrians? No?
No, there's no more.
Billy and the Beaters?
There's no more quotes.
Gary Puckett and the Union Gap? Oh, what did I say?
Stop
that right?
It! Okay. Howard Dean yesterday.
There are going to be 535 people that vote on this bill, and we're going to check every single one of them. And in November, we're going to hold them accountable. I don't care if they're Republicans or Democrats. I want to know, did you stand with the insurance companies, or did you stand with the American people?
Which and by the way,
would you like fries with that?
Where was that?
He was at a pro-healthcare rally in Washington, D.C.
Oh, it was not at a Jack in the Box. My
no. He was doing something important. He wasn't taking your order.
We're all out of curly fries.
Free fries, bro.
That was just weird.
And a large orange drink.
Big orange drink.
He sounded like he had that like that Peter Frampton voice thing inside a beer can.
He was on a megaphone.
Of course he was. All right, Senator Tom Harkin, Democrat of Iowa.
If Republicans really believed that the Democratic Party was courting electoral disaster if a certain bill passed, they would probably keep their mouths shut, stand aside, and let things unfold.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't use my more colorful language that they would just drink a big cup of STFU.
No,
but that's what I'm saying.
He has some senatorial decorum.
Right. He doesn't,
whereas you don't.
Acronyms are dirty.
All right, must I?
What?
Stupid, you pick.
We're not restricting their rights. We're not expanding their rights. All we're saying is it's a benefit the federal government has chosen not to fund.
It's already
just
in
keep
there.
Keep that policy.
Yeah, but it's the federal government has already determined that. It's a.
You twit.
It's in there. It is in there.
It's in there. These vegetables are huge.
It's in there.
Huge?
Yeah.
Okay. So. Mm-hmm. Nancy Pelosi.
We have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it away from the fog of the controversy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I went through today. I won't do it again, Chris, but I went through the things that are in this bill. That I think that's the problem. People don't realize what's in there. Including Republican ideas, including cost control measures, including more insurance restrictions, which we desperately need. Senator Mitch McChinless.
If you're looking for a reason as to why Americans overwhelmingly oppose this bill and why Democrats are having such a hard time rounding up votes within their own party for this bill, it's because no one believes this bill will lower the cost of health care. It's that simple.
No one, except for the big economics professor from Harvard I just quoted.
Like I said, no one. Harvard. Well, what does that tell you?
No one except the CBO.
CBO stands for Communist Book Organization.
Communist Bastard Organization.
That's right, the Communist Bastard Organization.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Senator Lamar Alexander, Republican of Tennessee.
What the president is doing is asking House Democrats to hold hands, jump off a cliff, and hope Harry Reid catches them.
Yeah.
And Senator Reid's not going to have any incentive to catch them.
Yeah.
Because by the time the reconciliation bill gets to the Senate, the president will have already signed the health care bill into law, and he'll be well on his way to Indonesia.
Indonesia or Kenya or some place where dark people live. So don't do it. You better not. Oh boy.
Hey Jim, guess what? We're done talking. We're done talking about healthcare.
Yay!
Yeah, you know what? Here's what I think happened in this movie theater incident in L.A. It's because somebody had to talk about healthcare too much.
That's totally what it is.
Okay. Have you heard this?
That's why you bring a meat thermometer to a movie theater.
Yes.
Jim, what? A dispute at a Los Angeles movie theater during a screening of Shutter Island ended with someone plunging a meat thermometer into the neck of the man who complained about someone sitting near him talking on a cell phone during the show.
Well, you know, just the act of watching Shutter Island made me want to plunge a meat thermometer into my own head.
Yeah, watching Avatar made me want to plunge a meat thermometer.
I hated Shutter Island. Oh, God.
I think
the moviegoer complained about a woman near him using a cell phone, which is annoying. Let's face it.
Yeah.
The women and two men with her left the theater, but then the two men returned a few minutes later.
Came back with a meat thermometer.
Yes, and stabbed the victim who was hospitalized. He's fine, but he was hospitalized, as you can imagine. Because he was stabbed in the neck with a meat thermometer.
Which is so common in theaters today.
What do you think? What was that discussion outside? Let's go get a knife.
Pointy thing. Some kind of pointy thing with a gauge on it.
It was like, you know, let's make a deal. Do you have a paper clip? No. Do you have a tissue? No. Do you have a meat thermometer? Yes.
What was they? Yes, exactly. Let's make a deal. Like what? Or were they only outside like some sort of fine kitchenware outlet?
There was a Bed Bath & Beyond right next door.
It was Le Sur table or whatever that
a what?
The fancy kitchen store is. I don't know.
Where do you got that's pointy?
the turkey baster, no. A whisk, no. Yay.
I will hit you in the head with a whisk.
A juicer, no. I know, a meat thermometer. Okay. That's what I'm guessing. Maybe it was at that fancy, like at the Grove in L.A., where there was only one of those fancy kitchens, but there wasn't
stick
any
your
other
head
store.
The blender and hit frappe.
The arc light is fancier.
That's true.
That's what I'm saying. It might have been where somewhere there was just that's all there was is some sort of kitchen store. Just saying. All right.
There's a Crate and Barrel right next door to the Grove Theater. You're right.
So
that's what I'm saying.
If you hear someone talking on a cell phone behind you in a movie theater, strike first. With
yeah,
some kind
I don't
of
know the name
implement.
Of. Someone will know that it's this place where you get the fancy Julia Child things. I got a La Crusette there for somebody once.
A who? A what?
Pot. It's a fancy pot
creuset,
of some
le
sort.
Creuset.
Le Crusette.
Le Creuset.
That could hurt someone. That's heavy. It's iron.
No, yeah, those are heavy.
You can't fit it in your purse.
No. And I don't think I can get a meat thermometer there.
47. See,
William Sonoma?
Enough.
Is that what you're thinking of?
It no.
It was a vegan meat thermometer, though, so, you know.
47.
It was good for
it was for tofurkey. All right, 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's absolutely perfection.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I know, my French pronunciations are Les Misérables.
Sur la table. You can say Guy Lafleur, but you can't say sur la table.
I can say Guy Lafleur. I'm sorry, what was the name of the fancy kitchenware store that
sur
I meant to refer
table.
To?
Sur la table. On the table. Mm-hmm.
Ah, see, I said sur la table. Yes. Joe in Long Beach on the sur la table. Hello, Joe.
Steph, good morning. And you were pretty close in terms of the store, sur la table. Also, why would a guy in Lancaster have a thermometer with him? Well, alongside San Bernardino County, it's probably the one of the top two places where you cook crystal meth in the entire country.
Oh,
so,
there you go.
Do you check
it with a meat thermometer?
Well, you know, whatever. I'm sure
I would think you'd use a candy thermometer for that.
Well, you know what? You got to go low tech when you don't have money to afford the high tech gadget.
A rock candy thermometer.
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you. Yeah, not a lot of people can afford a meat thermometer from Sous-Le-Tub.
Although,
to cook their crystal meth with.
Stephanie, you're in danger of separating yourself from your people when you actually admit that you shop at Sous-Le-Tub.
Once. I did one time. You know me. I don't even cook. It was a present for someone.
On your way to Walmart.
Yeah, on your way to fancy dinner parties.
I don't even know how to make oatmeal. I've screwed up making instant oatmeal during this show.
Well, then what the hell are you doing buying a Le Creuset?
It was a gift for someone. It was a Christmas gift.
Those are expensive.
It's for burning sauerkraut in.
Robert in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Hi, Robert.
Hi. First time, long time.
Thank you.
I'm a 20-something, and we love your show.
Thank you.
I apologize profusely for backtracking the healthcare, and I'll keep it very short.
Oh.
I apologize profusely.
You know what? I'm going to stick a meat thermometer in my own neck.
You might enjoy this. Okay, the genius of the Republicans is they make emotional appeals, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they basically don't even need data to make their points. And I think Democrats need to grab onto that. Now, they need to make emotional appeals, like, to people's compassion.
Yep.
You know, like, basically saying, you know, we've gone astray. There was a time in humanity's history when people took care of each other for the sake of taking care of each other. We had a medicine man, and, you know, that was that person's purpose. And we just need to, like, get off all the numbers for a second and just, like, awaken that sensation, that, like, urge to take care of each other.
Right.
And, I've been saying that all year, that, you know, Obama's taking the Michael Dukakis route. Say, oh, well, people will see, you know, appeals to reason and understand what's going on. No. People fall for the emotional stuff every single damn time. And
yep.
They should have been showing actual case histories of people who have suffered and died because of the current system.
Yep,
yeah,
absolutely.
Keep it super-duper simple because, you know, a lot of people got that TV-induced ADD.
Right.
Yep. All right. Honey, thank you for that. That wasn't as bad as I thought, although I still do
exactly
want
right.
to stick a meat thermometer in my neck and hit myself on the head with a Le Creuset.
Le Creuset.
Le Creuset. I got a Le Sur Table.
It's La Table and Le Creuset.
You know, I think I need to hear a Guy Lafleur montage in order to brush up on my French pronunciation. I haven't done that in quite some time. La Sœur Tableau. La Crusade.
Le Crusade.
And ironically, this French lesson brought to you by Giacomo Rossini, who was not French.
Oh.
See, Jim's better at the French pronunciation because he just imitates the candlestick in that animated movie.
No.
He does that thing that makes you just sound French. What does that have to do with being French?
How long did you study French, Stephanie?
I didn't. I studied Espanol.
You stuttered?
You stuttered, yeah.
I did.
How do you say, where are the horses?
Oh, ¿dónde están los caballos?
¿Dónde están los caballos?
All I remember is El Parade is Greece.
La Parade. It's feminine.
Whatever.
Even I know that, and I didn't take any Spanish.
What have you? Since when, by the way, do you ever have to say the wall is gray when you go to a foreign country?
We are in the studio here has gray walls.
They don't teach you to say stuff that you really need to say, like, please give me my passport back and don't rape my friend. Stuff like that. The wall is gray. What kind of help is that?
¿Dónde está un cerveza?
Thank you. Okay. All right. Here's another, I don't know why, you know, we started with the meat thermometer story. This one is from Florida. Florida Highway Patrol officers say a two-vehicle crash Tuesday was caused by a 37-year-old woman driver who was shaving her bikini area while her ex-husband took the wheel from the passenger seat. Julie
wow.
sends this.
That's a new one.
With the headline, driving the car, shaving some pubes.
What?
Oh.
Mr. Hand?
Jim, listen, you've lived in L.A. a long time. You've seen a lot of people, chicks doing a lot of stuff while they're driving.
I haven't seen that.
I bet you haven't seen, I'll give you the details of this story when we continue. That's Celebrity Stack and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh yeah, baby, it's your favorite radio tickle party. Welcome to
oh,
it.
Oh no.
Not as entertaining as an Eric Maslow breakdown, but close to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere to join the tickle party. Yeah, do we have a Huffington Post has sent us a, some highlights?
Yes.
The Eric Maslow interviews. All right, here we go.
Everyone had too much to drink. There were 300 people there. I grabbed a guy. I groped a male staffer. Yeah, I did. Not only did I grope him, I tickled him until he couldn't breathe, and then four guys jumped on top of me.
I was fondling a cat. Tickle fight.
Ah, I don't know if tickle fights in the...
Tickle fights.
Tickle fight.
Tickle fights?
It's like an orgy in Caligula.
All right. I got blood shoot out of my eyes. Okay, you're a fireman coming out. Firemen keep running out, but they won't say, over here, bring a hose over here. And we're standing with hoses, arm twisting.
Arm twisting. Going.
Arm twisting. Arm twisting.
My arm has been twisted 17 times this Sunday.
Have you met Charlie Rangel?
He poked his finger in my chest while I was taking a shower. It's called whipping. Huh? It's the whole schmazole.
Put you in a meat grinder.
Okay. This ain't exactly a Dunkin' Donut fest.
What?
Huh?
I'm surprised he didn't ask Larry King, do you like gladiator movies, Larry?
Have you ever seen a grown man naked?
Yes, Rahm Emanuel. It was
yes, apparently. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice Dee, Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. Yeah, it's just a weird,
Dunkin' Fest? What?
I don't.
What?
I don't. Yeah, the whole... Wow, and we were saying that, you know, there was so much focus on the Glenn Beck thing that the Larry King, well, Larry King is the best place for the weirdest interviews ever. Oh, you remember my, I thought nothing would top my favorite. You remember when Michael Jackson died and he had Liza on from Paris or something. And
whatever.
Yeah, it was, when he read a statement from Elizabeth, Dame Elizabeth Taylor writes in, and it just, it was like a Saturday Night Live
she
sketch.
She tweeted, Dame Elizabeth Taylor tweeted.
Dame Elizabeth
tweeted.
Taylor tweets. And then Liza was all hysterical about the child molestation thing. Larry, it was never true, Larry. It wasn't true. It really was. It's just, it's awful, honey. She just called him honey the whole show. It was just the, just when you think a Larry King show can't get weirder. Anyway, but the weird part of it, so Jim, I don't know if you heard this, but he out and just asked him, are you gay? And he said, what did he say exactly, Chris?
He said he wasn't going to, he wouldn't answer that because it's offensive to gays and lesbians.
Oh.
I don't.
Huh?
What? I don't understand. That doesn't even make any sense to me.
No.
It's not offensive to gays and lesbians to be called gay and lesbian.
No, it's not.
Maybe they'd be embarrassed by having him in their ranks. Maybe that's what he meant.
Well, that, okay, that, now we're talking. We were saying to him, the thing that's weird about this story is that, you know, he's not one of these hypocritical guys on the right. He's been way out in front and don't ask, don't tell. He's, you know, obviously a Democratic guy who's not been, you know, who was this guy we mentioned the other day? He had a zero lifetime rating on, you know, gay and lesbian
issues. Yeah, the California State Senator from...
Ashburn.
Ashburn.
Exactly. So I don't know. So the story, I just think it's unfortunate because I was saying I don't know I don't even know what the truth is. I don't even know that it matters. Like, I don't know whether it's the cancer, whether it is an internal, you know, struggle over sexuality, but it's just sad, I think. It's just a guy that's becoming unhinged. And, you know, as usual, the right wing was trying to use him to, as a blunt stick against the Obama administration. And I think, you know, even they saw that and sort of imploded in their faces. This is the guy in the midst of some sort of breakdown that's just kind of, anyway. All right. So in the meantime, we mentioned the other breaking news story out of Hollywood. Corey Haim was found dead this morning at 38 years old of an apparent overdose.
Mm-hmm. They're saying it was prescription drugs that he overdosed on.
Yeah.
But he's had a well-documented struggle with heroin addiction as well.
Yes. And people were not necessarily even making jokes, but people were mourning the wrong Corey because there literally is so much confusion. And I thought they had the wrong picture up. And anyway, yeah. So and I'm sure there were probably crews at
Feldman.
Which one? Yes. Corey Feldman's house.
There might have been.
I'm imagining today. All right. Meanwhile.
Yeah, really stupid crews. I mean.
Yes. All right. The other weird story out of Hollywood, I must say. So have you seen that? The E-Trade baby commercial?
Yes.
Which is actually really cute.
No, I hate them. Hate them. They're creepy as hell.
I love them.
They are creepy as hell.
Yes, I thought nothing would replace the, what do you call it, the Sears Optical commercial where the woman invites the raccoon into snuggle.
Huh?
Oh. Love that one. Oh, come snuggle with Mama! And she's letting a raccoon in the house because she can't see.
Oh.
She thought it was her kid. He's like, here, kitty. Oh, that one.
Okay.
But anyway, these are hilarious, right, Jim?
I haven't. No.
I love those.
They're creepy as
yes.
all get out.
Dad?
Babies don't talk.
Dad? Okay. It's a series of. It's a series starring babies who play the stock market. It features a boy apologizing to his girlfriend via video chat for her not calling the night before. And so she says, and that milkaholic Lindsay wasn't over. The boy goes, Lindsay, just before a baby girl sticks her head into the frame and says, Milka what? Anyway. Are you ready for this? So Lindsay Lohan is suing.
What?
Yes. I didn't even think that. Did you, Jim, when you heard it?
Oh,
I wasn't even thinking.
The kid was named Lindsay. Oh.
Yes.
I get it.
An alcoholic.
The superficial writes, because not all Coke dealers accept blow. Lindsay Lohan is suing E-Trade for $100 million over a Super Bowl ad featuring a milkaholic baby named Lindsay. Lohan's lawyer said the actress has the same single name recognition as Oprah or Madonna. I don't.
Lindsay.
Superficial writes, did her lawyer seriously just equate her with Oprah and Madonna? How do you not get disbarred for that? That's like taking the oath and then equating Britney Spears with someone who's literate and understands children aren't footstools. So good luck with that. That didn't even occur to me, but apparently she thinks she's one of those one name.
Wow. Yeah, people. Good luck with that.
She thinks a little highly of herself, doesn't she?
You know, people like
Stephanie.
Exactly. You don't even need to say the rest of it, Jim. Just
Stephanie.
Yeah.
You're just like Cher.
That's it. People know who you mean. Okay.
Your Honor, my client was accused of being a milkaholic, and you're serious, right? You really? This
no.
That's your case?
Speaking of getting laughed out of court, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. This is making, just talking about adding insult to injury. So a rep for the Academy Awards says that the omission of Farrah Fawcett from the, in memoriam montage was not an oversight.
What?
Oh.
They purposefully left her out?
Wow.
Yes. Ryan O'Neill says he can't believe the decision by the Academy Awards to omit Farrah Fawcett from the In Memoriam segment of the show.
They left in Brittany Murphy.
I hate to say that.
But they,
that was another tragic death. But Brittany Murphy?
Right.
I mean, she was in a couple of movies, yes. But Ryan said Farrah was a member of the Academy for over 40 years. We couldn't believe she didn't even get a mention.
Yeah.
And they have, like, people that no one's ever heard of. Gaffers
like executives, studio executives that were in there. But they left out Farrah Fawcett.
That's just weird.
And this may be is some sort of karmic justice here, but maybe that's why Betty White is going to host Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
Just to make up for leaving B. Arthur out of the In Memoriam montage as well. Betty White had an Oscar party on Sunday. She told People magazine she is doing SNL. This is very exciting.
Betty White's doing S&M? What?
No.
Did you hear that?
Oh. No.
My friend Travis just made a point about Farrah Fawcett. Dom DeLuise made it in to the In Memoriam, and he starred in Cannonball Run with Farrah Fawcett.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Speaking of Saturday Night Live, a suburban New York mayor wants to correct the record after SNL made fun of her city. First, Peekskill is not upstate. That's true.
And she says, no.
It's right near my old house where I used to live here in Croton on the Hudson.
Anything north of the Bronx is upstate.
Upstate is Buffalo, where Mama grew up the transit from Lackport.
Anything north of the Bronx is upstate.
No, it's in New York City. Peekskill is like a half an hour from here. That's not upstate. Upstate is Buffalo area. Listen, this is my area of expertise.
Okay.
Put a sock in it. Anyway, she says, Peekskill is not upstate. Second, it's not a hellhole. It was mentioned an actor playing Governor David Patterson said he planned to tour upstate New York. Hellholes like Plattsburgh and Peekskill. He said the residents there are rock eaters and freaks. Okay, well, that part's true. Okay, I have
that.
All right, it's in Westchester. That's not upstate.
And Peekskill was the setting for The Facts of Life.
Oh. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
What an interesting fun.
Things like that get lodged in my mind, but I can't figure out healthcare reform.
Well, I can't pronounce Le Cirque du Bleu. The fancy kitchen store. All right, delisted with a breaking news report that Gerard Butler is doing everyone. Gerard Butler is continuing his quest of tasting every
what
and
oh
on the planet
oh
by getting with baby Jesus's foster mother, Madonna. Gerard and Vag, they report, have known each other since she was married to Guy Ritchie, but apparently have taken their relationship to the next level gross, at the Oscar after party in Hollywood on Sunday. A source says she was putting on a full-court press, totally charming him, and even challenged him to a dance-off. D-Listed writes, this is the third or fourth story I've ever heard about Vag challenging hoes to a dance-off. Who rots out a high school parking lot circa 1984 in churches challenges bitches to dance-offs? Yeah, that's what I'm going. Isn't that in the movie? People actually do that? They actually challenge people to a dance-off? I guess I just don't go to the right parties.
This isn't Footloose.
Yeah. I told you I went to a fancy
or a Michael
liberal,
Jackson video.
I went to a fancy liberal media elite party here in New York last night.
Yes, you
the
did.
Head of the ACLU was there. And nobody challenged anyone to dance. It was I must be going to the wrong party.
You should have challenged Kate Clinton to a dance-off. Come on.
I will tomorrow. She's coming on the show tomorrow.
Is.
Famous comedian Kate Clinton will be on the show. I'll challenge her because that'll be good in radio.
And also, rumor has it that we have another huge special guest tomorrow.
Oh, wait. Are we talking about my ex-husband, Hal Sparks?
No.
Lily
really? Tomlin.
Oh, Lily Tomlin's coming on tomorrow?
I told you
no
that,
way.
I told you that yesterday.
You did?
Yes.
Was I at Le Cirque du Bleu?
I don't know. I told you that yesterday and you were like, okay. Like,
oh, I didn't think it was confirmed. Is it confirmed? Is that the breaking news?
Yes.
We're having Lily Tomlin, who listed the Stephanie Miller Show as her favorite radio show in a recent Time magazine.
She's going to be on the program tomorrow.
Wow.
Okay, yay. All right. And Hal Sparks will be live in studio with us for the whole show as well. So what a show. Don't miss a minute of it tomorrow. 17 minutes after the hour, a skosh more. You know what, Jim? We're cleansing our healthcare palate, but we have celebrity stack. We have fun stack. There's more pube shaving stories.
What? More pube shaving stories?
Yes. As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome to the party barn. May we take your order? It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. She knew how to work it the day she was born. Now she's riding into battle with her high heels on. She's the queen of the West Side, working until dawn. Riding into battle with her high heels on. On lockdown.
Scares you when you can't see me on the Skype, right?
Yeah.
I was pulling things out of the trash that I need.
I started the music, and there was no host in the chair. And
then I popped up into the picture. There I am. Magically, I appeared. I was dumpster diving. I need those healthcare statistics for Representative John Larson, Democrat of Connecticut, coming up in a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Sue in Rockville, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Sue.
Hey, good morning. Okay, so first you have Joanne Worley on, my hero.
Yes.
Now tomorrow, Lily Tomlin. All you need is either Goldie Hawn and Ruth Buzzi, and you get the laughing trifecta of fabulous women.
There you go.
I could not be happier, and no healthcare talk. What could be
and we
better?
Should, exactly. And we should just have slamming doors left and right, so it'll sound exactly like the old laugh-in. Why, look who's here. Oh, it's Lily Tomlin. Why? Oh, shut the door after Ruth Buzzi, will you? Okay.
And then a tribute to Henry Gibson, since they left him off also.
That's yes.
There you go. There you go. All right. Thank you, Sue.
Stephanie?
Yes.
We have your ex-husband on the line. Calling from Mexico.
Bitter party of one.
In the world is Carmen Sparksiego.
Good morning, Hal Sparks. Good morning, Hal Sparks.
Oh.
Oh, for the love of God.
When I was gonna say,
oh, there.
There you are. Good morning,
hi,
sir.
Hi. how you guys doing?
You're on that crappy Skypey phone, aren't you?
There is a huge delay, Hal.
Sorry. I'm calling you from a boat.
Okay.
Wow.
All right.
We will try tomorrow then. I adore you and Nick with this, so I will be in studio with you next week and then I will try and come in tomorrow in LA.
Yes, okay.
And I'll tell you all about the Progressive Talk Cruise.
Okay,
good. Oh, all right. Oh, he's on the Progressive Radio Cruise.
That's
okay.
Right.
I think he was crossing the equator and having a big tickle party with all the sailors.
I had to let him go.
It's another day, another naked tickle party for Hal Sparks. I mean, come on, that's his life, for God's sakes. All right, Sharon Osbourne wants to sell her breast implants on eBay.
What?
Yikes.
She doesn't like the look of her breastises following her last boob-boosting operation. She said they've put these bloody great bags in there, and they're too round. It's like a waterbed on your chest. I hate my...
Well, then why did she get them?
She's going to have them taken out and put them up on eBay. You remember, I once auctioned off my butt fat for charity, Chris. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
At the old station?
Mm-hmm.
I did. It went for a domestic violence shelter or something. Some guy in L.A. still has a piece of my ass in his basement. Literally.
That's gross.
It puts the lotion on its skin.
I put the lotion on my skin, and then I auctioned off my butt fat, and it made a lot of money, as I recall, for charity. So there you go. See? All right. By the way, personal grooming, I didn't finish the driving the car, shaving some pubes story. This was in Florida. There was a car crash because a woman was shaving her area. The weird touching.
Any other error?
Yeah, well, it was that area.
She was using a straight edge razor.
Yeah, that would suck badly.
This is sort of touching. Her ex-husband was driving the car from the passenger seat. She said she was meeting her boyfriend in Key West and wanted to be ready for the visit. She was not supposed to be driving, and the car was not supposed to be on the road. She was convicted of a DUI.
Of course, alcohol was involved.
And the story gets better. They kept driving after the crash and then switched seats with her ex-husband, who claimed to be driving. The sheriff said she jumps in the back and he moves over. It was like the old comedy bit, Who's on First? They were, after the pube shaving, there was a...
That whole story just seemed ill-advised.
Yeah.
Everything about that story was ill-advised, yes.
As is this one, by the way, speaking of plastic surgery disasters like Sharon Osbourne's, six women hospitalized after botched butt-enhancing procedures. Let this be a lesson to you, Jim. In Newark, New Jersey here, a black market butt-enhancement practitioner is injecting New Jersey.
You want to get a real butt-enhancement expert if you're going to.
Yeah, Jersey's not where you go. Newark is where I go for that. they are injecting New Jersey backsides with household caulk and other hazardous materials, according to New Jersey health officials. Six Newark area women in the last 2 months have been hospitalized with infections caused by injections of a variety of materials, including silicone, petroleum jelly, and hardware-grade caulk.
That's spelled C-A-U-L-K.
Yes, it's not.
Some of the victims' derrieres resembled moonscapes filled with lumps and craters, according to a hospital source.
Yikes.
Oh, my God.
They were trying to get, I guess, Kardashian-like butts, and they have moonscapes instead. That's gross. Cock. Mm-hmm. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour. Back with Representative John Larson next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Don't toy with me, woman.
What else is there to do? 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number Don't forget, big, big show tomorrow. Lily Tomlin, Hal Sparks, Kate Clinton. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a comedy extravaganza.
Yep.
Explosion. Don't miss a minute.
And all good progressives.
Exactly. All right, Representative John Larson, our good friend and congressman from the great state of Connecticut. Good morning, Congressman.
Morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Thanks so much for taking time for us. You know what? You must be as weary as we all are talking about health care. You know, I was heartened to hear an actual deadline, but now it doesn't. I don't know if we're going to make it. The White House is asking for March 18th, right?
Correct. They are asking for March 18th, but as Speaker Pelosi says repeatedly, it'll be ready when it's ready. And I think that's the important thing, and I know how frustrating this can be to people who are listening, but you want to make sure that you don't bring a vote to the floor prematurely, and you want to make sure you go to the floor with the votes required for passage. And I think that's the exciting thing about this historic moment for the country, that we are on the verge of passing health care reform, and that is going to be a tremendous plus for the American people, and I think finally being able to dispel all the myths and to really demonstrate to the American people who's on their side. And I especially, and I think you appreciate this, Stephanie, I think this is so extraordinary for women across this great nation of ours, because clearly if anyone has a vested interest in it, it's American women all across this this nation. They are discriminated against. They are coverage is dropped. Their rates are increased. It's hard to imagine that domestic violence would be treated as a pre-existing condition, that in vitro fertilization is treated as a pre-existing condition. For God's sake, acne is treated as a pre-existing condition. And, you know, the Republicans may agree with us on some reforms, but where they strongly disagree is that they think somehow the free marketplace is going to, which has the ability to deny, drop, or rate you indiscriminately, has worked. We think that's not the case. And as my grandfather Nolan would say, trust everyone but cut the cards. And that's what we intend to do. Not only cut the cards, but give a new deal to the American people with respect
right.
to this.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know if you've seen, I've been talking this morning, Congressman, about Wendell Potter. He's the former health insurance executive who's, you know, turned whistleblower.
Yeah,
I mean, I find him to be one of the most credible spokespeople on this issue. You know, the one thing I do hear from some callers is, you know, a mandate without a public option. They think it's a giveaway to the insurance companies. I think he's been very clear on why it's not, that we have got to take this deal, that this is going to insure 30 million more people. I think he said yesterday, he said, if there is reform, yes, they'll get new customers, but they'll have to live in a world that has a lot more restrictions, a lot more oversight than they've been used to, including what you just said about that. That's huge in itself, not being able to drop people because of pre-existing conditions.
Exactly. And also, obviously, I think in the House we preferred a public exchange and the public option. This will be a public exchange, and this will create competition. And it will also provide for Americans choice. I think a lot of the what you've seen, Stephanie, or just even over the last several weeks, ironically, the insurance industry is aiding and abetting the cause of passage because they've hiked up people's rates in California 39%, but across the country on an average of 16 to 18%. Increases on what were already high premiums. And so this general state of fear and alarm, as Mr. Potter points out, can be alleviated with an exchange. And I think down the road from there, and especially, you know, once this bill is enacted, there'll be some immediate things to take place. And then as the bill goes into effect, reforms to take place, and then as the bill goes into effect in 2013, there'll be an opportunity to perfect it and continue to work, towards a more perfect union.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's the other thing. And, I get accused of being too hopey and changey. But, you know, Wendell Potter seems to share my hope that it is encouraging to see the number of senators signing on for the public option, that it gives momentum for an option like that being passed later on, that you know, this is, it's not there now, but there is hope that it could be in the future, that it can be improved and strengthened over time, correct?
No question about it. It also shows that it's what's working out there is that the grassroots movement is getting to the senators in terms of them, people being outraged that that it wasn't included in the Senate bill. And at
right.
the end of the day, the public cares little about the nuances of the Senate or the House or any of the process things. They are angry. They need this reform. They are desperate. We were at a forum in New Haven with the Speaker and Rosa DeLauro, and this young woman got up and talked about her ordeal with cervical cancer. There wasn't a dry eye in the crowd, and that's the kind of That's what I think. There's not an American around, Stephanie, that doesn't, if it's not happening to them personally or someone in their family, yeah. It's happened to someone in their neighbor, one of their neighbors. And people understand this, but they've been, you know, to be frank about it, we've kind of lost the message battle. While you're putting together a bill over a, you know, 8-month period, we've kind of lost a there's been a vacuum, and the Republicans filled that with fear.
Mm-hmm. And out and out lies about what's in the bill.
Exactly.
You know, Congressman, it's interesting, you know, you raise, because I think that we have to be honest, too, as progressives, that, look, the, you know, one thing that I've heard callers say, the public option is the only thing that controls costs. Well, I've been citing this Harvard economics professor who says it's going to save $600 billion in costs, this bill, over the next 10 years, and, like the CBO says, it's going to reduce the federal deficit at least $1 trillion. So, you know, it's even, and that's without a public option, you know, so, I mean, we have to say that is not the only thing that makes a good health care bill. And I think that, you know, Republicans, if they were honest, would have to say tort reform is not the only part of health care reform.
Well, also, too, there were two very interesting studies. One was done by the Rand Corporation. The other was done by Reuters, either hardly bastions for progressives. But suffice it to say, they both included, and the RAND Corporation in health information IT, which is but one segment caught up in this bill as innovation, $500 billion in savings over a 10-year period. With regard to Reuters, $700 billion annually in fraud, abuse, waste, inefficiencies, and replication. That's $7 trillion. Here's where we're going to bend the curve, but if the president and the administration do not have the tools to do that, then we go on our merry way with the health care, which is one-sixth of the economy and approaching 20% of gross domestic product, really pricing us out of so many other areas and preventing the kind of job growth, et cetera, that's needed. With the passage of this bill and a robust exchange, we lower the cost, we shrink this, and we get in there and we get to regulate the insurance industry, and we get to have someone in the White House who's going to make sure that there's a fair deal for people, whether it's hospitals, doctors, medical devices, you name it.
And Congressman, I think you raise a good point that they have, you know, our friends on the Republican side have put out so much misinformation. I urge people to go to the Wall Street Journal and read this piece by, it's a professor of economics from Harvard. It says health reform passes the cost test. The Obama clan will cut costs $600 billion over the next decade. Why walk away from it? Over the past year of debate, 10 broad ideas have been offered for bending the health care cost curve. The Democrats' proposed legislation incorporates virtually every one of them. I mean, including Republican ideas, right?
Yeah, and you know what else, Stephanie, I would hope, especially for progressives, that, you know, everybody take a step back. You know, I announced in the caucus yesterday, in 1933, Roosevelt began his first 100 days, where they set out, you know, to right the course that had devastated the country during the Depression. And, of course, that led to Social Security. And it was the same kind of fight back then as it is today. And if you go back to February of last year, and with the famous Frank Luntz memo, more than 30 pages, where he details out how Republicans have to be unified in their opposition to Obama, and to the way to stop Obama was to stop health care. Mm-hmm. Health care to Obama is what Social Security was to Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and Medicare was to Lyndon Baines Johnson. This is absolutely essential in this century for our people, and Social Security, when it passed, needed work and continues to need work.
Right, and we strengthened those over time, absolutely.
But they are great programs for everyday average citizens who work hard and play by the rules, and especially those in the middle class who feel most vulnerable. The middle class feels as though they're taken away from us, and that is not the case at all. But the proof is in the pudding, and once we have a bill, then the guy on 16 Pennsylvania Avenue is going to be able to get out there, and I think he's the best salesman in the world, and be able to debunk a lot of the myths around this, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at, you know, just yesterday. I mean, I think we would all agree that jobs is pretty much the most important thing going on right now. So, you know, it looks like this jobs bill is going to pass the Senate. Well, of course, Republicans against that. It's just how do they propose to create jobs? Then, of course, they are talking about fiscal conservatives. Oh, it adds too much.
They have a very unique way of doing this. They think that they can wake their way through this. They think that by doing nothing, that if they wait for the private sector to kick in, that somehow that's what's going to put the country to work. Look, the economic engine, the automobile that drives the economy here in this country has stalled. And, it needs new spark plugs, and government has to come in and assist it by giving it a jump start and a charge. Republicans feel that, no, those spark plugs are going to grow themselves. It'll just start up on its own. And that just simply isn't going to happen. And government isn't the entire solution, but when we need to step in and leverage the private sector in a way that's now economists are also saying, well, it worked. It looks like the stimulus worked. It looks like the Recovery Act is working.
Yep.
And with an added emphasis on small business and rugged individualists who understand that, wait a minute, I believe in, I know when things get tough, I circle the wagons and I got to make it on my own. But if government's only answer, which is the Republican response, is, yeah, you're on your own, then how are you going to make it?
Yep, absolutely.
And if you're on your own and all the costs are going up around you and no one's going to step in and level the playing field for you or give you the assistance, then how do you grow your way out of it? You can't wait your way through deep recession.
Congressman, we're almost out of time. I'm sorry, I'm required by media law to ask you about the Eric Massa mess because it's all obviously over the news. You must know him personally. I feel a certain amount of sadness that this guy just
seems like he's having
some kind of breakdown.
Stephanie, I was about to say the same thing. For me, always with people either side of the aisle, this is a tough business and it places an awful lot of stress on individuals. My heart aches for a guy who has gone through what has to be a tortuous last several weeks, and God only knows for how long. And, the cancer issue aside, but just you can see in his stories that he's under a great deal of stress, and I have sympathy for him. But I think it's probably the best thing that he resigned and stepped down, hopefully for his health and well-being, and can put these things behind.
Yep, absolutely. Congressman John Larson from the great state of Connecticut, thanks as always, sir, for your time.
You're welcome, Stephanie.
All right, there he goes, Congressman John Larson.
Wow.
All right, 46.
He actually answered your question.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I didn't go for the tickle party joke.
Oh, okay.
All right, 47. I kept it congressional. Mm. We'll get back to the tickle party jokes after this. 47 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, God, that is so my humor.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Please, please, friends, don't let friends shave their pubes in the car while driving and listening to the Stephanie Miller Show. Please, don't shave angry. Please. 52 minutes after the hour, the Dow is up 4.5 points. Some stories just stick in your mind.
She's trying to get some kind of award for multitasking.
Look,
I'm tweeting and shaving my pubes. Ah!
And her husband was steering the car.
Her ex-husband.
While she was going to go see her boyfriend.
You know what? You got to give it up for that guy. What kind of ex-husband drives the wheel while his ex-wife shaves her
to go see
another
her
guy?
Boyfriend.
Wow. She was shaving her vajayjay.
Did you think he was like, you never did that for me. You looked like you'd... All right, never mind.
Yeah. You never gave me a landing strip.
All right. Well, all right.
Yeah, let's talk about this the better.
Okay. I think we can... Let's talk about poo instead, shall we?
Oh, dude.
No.
It's all the rage, the bird poo facial.
What?
Well, all the rage where? If you're a statue in New York City, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, it's expensive here in New York. I think I've got a money-making idea. I think pigeon poo would be cheaper. A pigeon poo facial. I think I could sell some of those.
Just,
this is a... at the 10,000 Wave Spa in New Mexico. It's the Japanese Nightingale Facial. It's all the rage, apparently. They write here, we are the exclusive importers of processed Nightingale droppings. Just in case you don't fall for imitators. And it's only 115.
If it's from the Bronx, it's not Nightingale.
Yeah.
It's 115 for the basic facial, 159 for the deluxe custom facial, which I don't know if that's even like a better grade of food, but that one is, you know.
I don't think Nightingales sound like that when they fart.
Speed it up about 100 times.
Yeah, I think they're a little more dainty than that.
All right, let's hear about the Naked Tickle Party again. Why not?
Now they're saying I groped a male staffer. Yeah, I did. Not only did I grope him, I tickled him until he couldn't breathe, and then four guys jumped on top of me. It was my 50th birthday. It was kill the old guy. I did nothing sexual. I did things that were wrong. I should not have allowed myself to be that friendly with my staff.
Okay.
Jim, you've had a 50th birthday party. Are there tickle parties with other grown men?
No.
At those sorts of... It's a tickle the old guy thing?
No.
No?
It says no.
Interesting. And as I recall from yesterday, you have never offered to help another man finish masturbating?
No.
Computer says no. Mm.
I wasn't sure what sort of, you know, he makes it sound like just sort of guy horseplay. That's
just regular,
you know,
guys doing guy stuff.
Jim, you've never played tickle me till you cry?
No.
Interesting. All right.
Tickle the old guy?
Yep.
All right. Yeah, I had to come clean earlier, Jim. I think we all know. That's why I had to move to New York, because of the Naked Tickle Party, which you like, but, you know, Chris makes him all whiny, whatever. Sexual harassment. Whatever.
Uh-huh.
When you're in the studio, it's
breathe.
A tickle party every day, you know.
Exactly. I can't breathe.
You get
breathe.
Offended if I don't grab your ass.
Exactly.
I can't breathe. I can't. Now we know why Rebecca's not here right now.
Get off me, you crazy bitch. I can't breathe. Wah, wah. It's all Chris's fault I had to move. All right. Might you take your organ out for me? We were saying the Eric Massa thing, I have no idea if he's gay. I don't care. I don't. He doesn't appear to be a hypocrite. He's
nope,
been out
he's
in the front on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I don't know if he's confused. I don't know. He appears to be having a bit of a breakdown. However, same-sex couples began marrying in the nation's capital with a...
You need a wedding organ.
Yes, that's what I meant.
There we go. Okay.
Some lining up as early as 3:30 a.m. The first couple to tie the knot, Angelisa Young and Sinjoyla Townsend.
Hmm?
They're good. Yeah, they're one of my favorite couples there. They met in constitutional law class. What makes you hotter than that?
I think they should have these marriages on the steps of the C Street house. I think that's just to drive
exactly.
Those people insane.
D.C., now the sixth place in the country where marriage equality is legal, following Connecticut, Iowa, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Vermont. We welcome you, D.C., to the community of equality and
whatever.
The Flavin.
Now, if only D.C. could get taxation with representation, that would that would be good.
You know who does not join that sign list of places would be Oklahoma.
What did Oklahoma do now?
Well, the headline is, after telling women and gays how to live, Oklahoma GOP is outraged at government intervention in divorce. The Oklahoma legislature is currently locked in a dispute over whether to tackle the state's divorce rate, the third highest in the nation. Although some Republicans are pushing the legislation, other conservatives are outraged at the government intrusion into their private lives.
Isn't that a bit of social engineering there?
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. What are they planning on doing?
These same lawmakers, as you'll recall, in Oklahoma, have no problem imposing government intrusion into women's private lives.
Right.
Last fall, they passed that law, remember, that would have collected personal details about every single abortion performed in the state and posted them on a public website.
Wow.
Because that's not private in any way. Oklahoma also banned same-sex couples from marrying, a clear government intrusion into private life that many Republican lawmakers seem to find perfectly acceptable. They just apparently they don't want your nose up in their straight marriage, however.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's just nosy. All right. Real quick before we go, according to the Associated Press, oh dear God, news break.
What?
Right. Homeschooling parents seeking textbooks that include evolution are finding the dominance of Christian-based materials to be isolating and frustrating.
Oh.
I get those calls from our progressive, a lot of progressive parents saying not all homeschoolers are flat earth. morons.
Right.
You know, people want to homeschool their kids anyway, but all the textbooks are,
the
you know.
School books are, have come from Texas. Turns out bullets weren't the worst thing to come out of the school book depository.
Oh.
Hey.
No, it's true. The school books are made by right-wingers in Texas.
And Bob Jones University, too. All right, that's it for us. Don't forget tomorrow, Lily Tomlin, Hal Sparks, and Kate Clinton. Don't miss it. We'll see you then on The Stephanie Miller Show.